From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
Ted Koppel.
The group calls itself MOVE, M-O-V-E.
30 years ago, who knew we'd have the internet? One man did know. His name's Andy Gaspar.
The HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers.
In today's technology-heavy world, we're used to being able to access just about any information we want. Photos, movies, music, and social media posts are available for anyone to find. But before the era of the internet, information came and went, often unrecorded, unless they were captured by a Philadelphia woman named Marion Stokes.
This question of the difference between a hoarder and collector is obviously at the center of the story.
We talked to filmmaker Matt Wolfe, whose new documentary focuses on Marion's life and her ambitious project to record decades of news, commercials, sitcoms, and anything else that was on TV.
So if people think all of this media is important, then she's a collector. If people think it's a pile of junk, then she's a hoarder.
So who was Marion Stokes? And why did she record nearly a million hours of television over her lifetime? Today on The Why, uninterrupted programming. So Matt, how did you find out about Marion Stokes?
Well, when Marion's tapes were acquired by the Internet Archive, there was an initial round of press. And I make films that have a lot of archival footage, but I thought, wow, you know, this is an archive of anything and everything. And that really intrigued me. So through a friend of a friend at the Internet Archive, I contacted Michael Medelitz, who's Marion's son, and I went down to visit him in Philadelphia. Marion grew up in Philadelphia, and she lived there for the entirety of her life. She had multiple apartments where she stored all sorts of things, but of course many of her thousands and thousands of tapes. And we arrived in Rittenhouse Square at the Barclay apartment building, and in Marion's old apartment, I saw hundreds of Macintosh computers with their original boxing, because Michael and Marion's secretary Frank were liquidating her computers. And I wasn't expecting that. And Michael and Frank and I went out to lunch the next day at the restaurant across the street where Marion would get her daily martini. And they started to cry. And I realized that this isn't just a story about an unprecedented archive. It's a complex family story.
When did Marion start taping?
Marion started taping in 1979 as the Iranian hostage crisis took off.
From ABC in New York, this is World News Tonight, Sunday, with Sam Morris.
This was really a kind of unprecedented media event because it was like a soap opera unfolding day to day.
Good evening. The U.S. Embassy in Tehran has been invaded and occupied by Iranian students. The Americans inside have been taken prisoner and, according to a student spokesman, will be held as hostages.
And Marion would watch the news and see how important information was changing or being omitted. But the Iranian hostage crisis was so significant because it really showed that there was an appetite for news on a daily, almost 24-hour basis.
The Iranian hostage crisis happened in 1979, and CNN launched in 1980. So my mother started taping, really at the birth of the 24-hour news cycle.
The news, 24 hours.
And this wasn't just the news, it was talk shows, public service announcements,
or a member of a minority group. If so, the state
local and national news.
Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. He was brought face to face with things he personally.
All these things are so interesting because it wasn't just the news that tells us what was happening. These kinds of, you know, detritus from the past really show us who we are and what the world felt like and looked like back then. And, you know, she wasn't just somebody who noticed changes, she reacted to them. Marion was always attuned to important shifts in media and technology. She was very committed to the democratization of the media. So in 1984, when Apple released the Macintosh personal computer, Marion saw an important shift and how people could create their own media.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
She became a kind of evangelist for Apple and invested heavily in their stocks and became an avid collector, collecting, during her lifetime, multiple versions of every Apple product ever released.
Hence all those boxes of unopened Mac computers. So what did it entail, this project?
Well, Marion had multiple television sets and VCRs all over the apartment, and she recorded an extended play, so every 7 or 8 hours there would be pandemonium in which everybody would have to change the tapes and hit record so that nothing was missing. So as Marion became estranged from her family, she created really a surrogate family of assistants who helped her facilitate this project. One of those people was Anna Lofton, Marion's nurse.
I mean, I don't think it was joyful to her, this taping. And if the tape wasn't going, she was not happy. She couldn't leave the apartment without having a tape in. And if we came in and the tape stopped, she was upset too because she didn't get it all. The tape is ended. What happened? You know, so it was a disaster for the day.
My impressions of Marion from the people who knew her best is that she was a woman of incredible conviction and intensity and passion. She was a voracious reader and a deep thinker who really left no stone unturned. In other ways, I think she was really controlling. I think that the project she pursued was maddening to the people around her.
Was she married? What was her family life like?
So a big focus of the film is the love story between Marion and her husband, John Stokes. Marion produced a local kind of countercultural television program called Input.
Prevents them from being persons. The whole gossip circuit, for example, is one aspect.
And her collaborator on that show was John Stokes, and they would have consciousness-raising sessions with all sorts of people. And it was through making that show that they really fell in love. John was a kind of patrician white man, and Marion was an African-American former communist. So they came from very different life experiences, but I think they connected over their passion for ideas and politics and equality. And from that point on, they lived a very kind of cloistered life together.
Even at the expense of their relationships with their children, right?
Yeah, as time went on, Marion became more and more focused on her taping project. She became estranged from her only son, Michael.
You know, my mother really could quite be very cruel if she thought you weren't kind of intellectually up to her standard. It was kind of like a two-day argument going on. I mean, I just remember storming out of a couple of rooms. And my mother said, well, nice to have known you. And we just didn't talk a whole lot for a long, long, long time.
She prioritized information about what was going on in the world, maybe more so than information about her actual family.
What were her ideals?
Marion was devoted throughout her life to social justice, and I think in the end, Marion was really concerned with people having accurate information to make good decisions. I think that was really a democratic idea. She didn't necessarily have one overarching political point of view or a single lens in which she looked at the media or at world politics. It was more about capturing it all so people could think for themselves and seek the truth.
How many tapes did she have?
Oh, I mean, in the end, Marion recorded on 70,000 VHS tapes.
Wow.
Probably Marion's closest collaborator on the project was her personal secretary, Frank Heilman. And it was his job to find all these tapes. And it became harder and harder as VHS became a kind of outmoded medium.
It was like almost 20 tapes a day we were taping. It was becoming harder and harder to find VHS tapes. And I used to go around the city scouring the stores.
Marion died in 2012. Tell me about that day.
It was the day of the Sandy Hook massacre.
We are now multiple hours into this horrific, horrific crime.
It's really a reminder of how much darkness and violence is on television every day, but this was a remarkably sad day.
That would have been a rough day anyway. That would have been a rough day anyway.
As difficult and controlling Marion was, the people who spent their lives around her were very close to her. And as her health was declining, I think it became very poignant.
When I sat her up, and I remember her eyes were open, and she looked at me, and she just patted my arm, and she said, "Frank, everything's going to be all right."
What happened, Matt, after she died? Did that mean that the project was over?
Yeah. When Marion died, the TVs and the VCRs were shut off, and that really was the end of her project.
Where are the tapes now, and what are they going to be used for?
So the Internet Archive in San Francisco acquired Marion's entire collection of 70,000 tapes, and their intention is to digitize it and to make it available on the Internet for free forever. It's a huge monumental project, and they're just in the earliest stages of figuring out how to do that, but their intention is for these tapes to be accessible to everyone for free.
So you've had a chance to do some reflecting, I know, in making this documentary. Why do you think Marion collected these tapes in the end? And what's the legacy of her project?
I think Marion collected all of this media because she knew that it wasn't being saved, and she recognized that there would be value in it. It's impossible to really know what the most important things are in an archive until the future. You know, there's things of great historical irony or significance now that reflect our current political landscape, but this is a collection that's being preserved and saved forever. So who knows what information or moments within this monumental archive could be of great significance. So in a lot of ways, I think Marion was looking to the future, not just obsessed with the current events and the news of that day. In a lot of ways, it's a gift for people who investigate the past to understand what's going on today.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us about this fascinating story.
Thanks for having me.
Matt Wolff's documentary, Recorder, The Marion Stokes Project, is scheduled for release this fall. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Today's episode was produced by Kelsey Hansen. Have a happy 4th of July. We'll be back on Monday.